This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church. Question: how can God's people live in a godless society? Let's look at 1 Peter. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God. So, how do God's people live where all around us we see Satan's hand at work in the world? Do they blend in and assimilate? Do they go along to get along? Now is the time to stand up and speak out. We believe that the people of God are made for this moment, made to be temples and vessels of His Holy Spirit, sharing the gospel of hope, love, grace, and faith. If you're looking for a church home, you're invited to join us at 10:30 Sunday mornings, 1515 Egger Street, above the high school here in Rock Springs. We are a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live on Sunday, November 28th, 2021, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Good morning. God bless you, and it is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Most gracious God, hallowed be your name. Help us to honor your name in all that we say and do. May your gracious presence surround us this day so that obedience to your word becomes our great joy. May the depth of your grace, the width of your love, and the height of your joy inspire us to more fully be your people. Empower us with your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep awake. Be ready. The Son of Man is coming, but about that day and hour, no one knows.
Neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father.
Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming.
Therefore, be ready, because man is coming at an unexpected hour. Light the first candle of Advent, hope, to remind us to keep awake and be ready.
Much has changed in our world over the last year, some good and some bad, some right and some wrong, some joy and some sorrow. And yet, hope is not lost, and all is not darkness when we focus on the resurrected Lord. Dear God, on this first Sunday of Advent, let us light shine brightly as the days grow shorter, so that we will be ready in face to shine upon us. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord.
My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, who has looked with favor on me, a lowly servant.
From this day, all generations shall call me blessed. The arm of the Lord is strong and has scattered the proud in their conceit.
God has cast down the mighty from their thrones and lifted up the lowly.
God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich empty away.
God has come to the aid of Israel, the chosen servant, remembering the promise of mercy, the promise made to our forebears, to Abraham and his children forever.
Let us pray.
Let's begin with a few seconds of silence. And in that time, let us center our hearts before Him. Let us pray. O gracious and loving God, hear our hearts and prayers lifted before You. On this first Sunday of Advent, the Scriptures remind us that You are coming again. They remind us that there will be signs of the times. And Father, with each generation, it seems we feel the end is near. And Father, we don't know, but You do. Jesus doesn't know, but You do. And Your Son came as a baby in a manger, that we know. He lived, taught, preached, healed, did miracles, and was horribly crucified, buried in a borrowed tomb. And through Your love and grace, You raised Him up 3 days later. So, Father, as we come to this season of Advent and we look at Christmas, without the cross, there would be no Christmas. Without the cross, there would be no promise of a second coming. But because of a manger, because of a life lived, because of a death suffered for our sins, and a resurrection, we know Your promises to be true. And as Christ was ascending into heaven, the angels spoke to His disciples and said, "In like manner you see Him leave, in like manner He shall return." May we join the historic shout of the church, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Father, we do bring our hearts before You today. We pray for forgiveness of sins. We pray for strength in service. We pray for a willing heart and open ears to hear You and to be moved by Your Spirit within and without, as You would call us, as You would send us, as You have went before us. Father, we pray to be faithful in all of that which You have called us, both as individuals and as a church. And Father, we pray that You would instill within us Your vision of where we go as a church with You, that You raise us up in some way to glorify You and to touch our community, the people in it and around us, to whom we have been given responsibility to be a light of hope, a beacon of truth that reflects You into our community. Father, we pray for other churches in our community, in our nation, and around the world. And Father, when we say churches, we don't talk about the denomination or the building structure, but the people, the body of Christ, which is the church. Father, we pray that our message would be true to You, that it would be true to Your Word, and that it would come to eager hearts and open minds who are willing to hear it and to receive it and to be transformed by it. Father, we pray for the needs we've lifted up. We pray for the needs that are in our bulletin. We pray for the needs that are silently upon our heart. For it is no doubt as we come together this morning, we come to shout and praise, but maybe lament and cry. We come with doubts and fears and triumph strong. We come feeling hopeless, but we come filled with hope. We come in uncertainty, and we come in certainty. So, Father, those are the reasons we come together, that we would fellowship one with another. For those who are discouraged, to be encouraged, and for those who are, and wherever they are, and however they are, to find a fellowship that is led by Your Spirit that would touch each other's lives. So, Father, help us be in this sanctuary together and not in such a hurry to leave, that we seek not one another. Father, we pray for leaders in our community, our state, our nation, and around the world. Father, we would pray that the people would come back to you, that they would come back to truth, that they would come back to honesty, that they would come back to integrity, that they would come back to compassion and service instead of self-serving, that the only agenda that would be observed would be your agenda, to love one another, to care for one another. We pray for those who serve our nation. We pray for those in different positions, from our military to our EMTs and ambulance drivers, doctors and nurses. And Father, we pray for those who are at home, who are going through difficulties, who are shut in, who are making decisions about where do we go from here and how do we finish this up. Father, comfort them, bless them, and give them your peace. And now may you hear us as we join together to praise you, taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Today our reading is from Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away, will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
How many of you know that we kind of focus on the birth of Jesus here, don't we? Wrong. Jesus isn't having any more birthdays. Have you noticed that when people are no longer here, they stop having them? We say things like, my grandmother would have been. So what is Advent? What do we celebrate at? We recognize the birth of Jesus because it's wonderful. And everybody likes the birth of Jesus. Cute little baby. We hate that he had to lay in that hay bed. And we hate that they had to wrap him up and may not have been the cleanest environment. And we really think they could have, well, whatever. We are comfortable with baby Jesus because he's not a threat. He's not a threat. We're comfortable celebrating his birthday because everybody likes a birthday, right? I have had several 29th birthdays. I'll have some more. I'm never going to be 30. You need to understand that.
So it's, what is it then about Advent? This, we light a candle that symbolizes hope, and we have lost our tradition, church. We've waffled our traditions away. And in waffling our traditions, we've lost a lot to the world around us. In the last 100 years, the church has been transformed by the world more than the world has been transformed by the church. We've brought more of the world's doctrines into the church than we have challenged in our communities. We've been asleep at the wheel. We have not listened to even this text, which says, don't get caught up in all of that. Man, have you noticed how hard it is to get caught up, how easy it is to get caught up in stuff today? Have you just noticed? Holy smokes, if you don't want it, don't turn on the TV, because there's a news channel for every flavor of whatever you're looking for. Don't turn on your mobile device and hit a piece of social media, because they've already know what you're looking at, so they're going to target you with whatever it is they think you want. So we're inundated with stuff. Have you ever seen people any more preoccupied? There's a sign of our time. How are you doing today, Greg? You doing all right? How about you, Pepper? Oh, did you see this on TikTok? What did you say, Norma? I wasn't paying attention. Oh, there you are. The sign of our times. We're connected, but we're disconnected. We're tuned in, but we're not. We're worried. How many of you have met somebody that isn't busy? Tell me, have you met somebody that just didn't have everything going on? I meet more people today who have who tell me, I don't know, I retired, but I don't know how I had time to work. I'm busier now than I've ever been. Have you ever saw people that are walking around like zombies? Tell me the truth. Have you been to Walmart and just had somebody walk by you that you knew and they didn't even notice you were there? Have you ever been at Smith's and you're in the checkout line and all of a sudden you look back behind you and there's somebody you know? You never even saw them. We're so preoccupied with so much stuff. And the church has gotten preoccupied with so much stuff that we've lost our focus. We've lost our way. We've lost our mission. We've lost our purpose. The purpose of the church is no different today than it was 2,000 years ago. The church is here, and the call of the church is to make disciples. Plain and simple. To make disciples for the transformation of the world, you bet. Folks, there is no greater need in our lives of anyone else than the relationship with God in Jesus Christ. There is nothing more important. Jesus says, what does it profit a person to gain the world and to lose their soul? We get preoccupied with everything, and everything gets in front of God. Everything gets in front of our service. Everything gets in front of who we are and what we do and what God's called us to do. We get too busy. We have too many things. We don't have time. You got a sheet in your bulletin. I'm asking for you to volunteer before I start a drafting committee or a railroading committee. Pick something. Pastor, I don't have time. Then ask yourself, why not? Why not? Ask yourself, are you putting stuff? Are you preoccupied? Here's the deal. Jesus has come. Baby in a manger. Great. Good deal, really. He lived 33 and a half years. Wonderful. He caused the blind to see, the lame to walk, and raised the dead. And then they put him to death on a cross for our sins. They laid him in a tomb, and by God's grace, he resurrected him on the third day. Folks, no cross, no manger. No cross, no promise of a second coming. But God said, I'm sending him. God sent him. God said he's going to witness to me in all the earth, and he has. God said they're going to kill him, but I'm going to raise him up, and he did. God has kept his word. There's one promise yet left. And Jesus said, I'm coming again. But the church has lost that focus. It's not cool. It's not popular. I'm going to get this wrong. Thank goodness Trinity and Garrett and Nick are here. Maybe some of the others of you are young enough. Is that cap means false, right? No cap means true, right? You don't know? Pick one. Don't matter. We don't use that anymore. But it was the thing last week. A year ago. Okay, let's see. How about it's bussing? That's current. Hey, do you know what bussing means? You're going to load 75 in each one, you're going to take them someplace, right? No. It means it's good. It means you go out here and you get one of these donuts, and I don't recommend them. Don't recommend them. Because if you eat them, I don't get them. But they're donuts out here. And if you like that donut, you'd say, that's bussing. Although, if you say bussing to me, I think you're going to go someplace. You know, we're going to take people with us. Or you're going to clean up the tables because you're going to bus them. You know, I think it's bussing. That's the deal. Folks, you need to understand something. Just because the world has changed the meaning of it don't mean God has. They used to say gross all the time. Let me use that word. That's 144, by the way, is gross. Am I right? If you order a gross of pallets, how many are you going to get, Ken? 144. Not 143, not 100, but it's gross. That means it's ugly. How do you know you hadn't got it yet? You know, that's 144. Cool. How many of you use that? I bet I do. How many of you use that one? Cool. So they need a jacket. They're cool. Slang. The church has lost its focus on the truth of God's word. We've abandoned the cry to the lost. Get ready. He's coming back. And we don't know when. That's what this is about. That's what Advent's about. Folks, the church should be concerned about lost souls more than a TV program. We should be caring about people who are lost and going to die and go to hell, who haven't heard the gospel message, who've had it watered down. Folks, it's smoking or non-smoking. It's heaven or hell. It isn't an in-between. Jesus is coming back, and he's going to judge the nations. That's the way it's going to be. Our first drive as a church is to tell people that, to tell them the truth. Unless you repent, you shall be lost. That's the call of the church. But we don't want to offend anybody. I got news for you. I'd rather offend them and get them in than to not offend them and them die on my watch and go to hell, which is more important. But we get lost. We get confused. We get caught up in all the drama that's around us, don't we? We get preoccupied and drawn away. We put other interests before the interest of God in our lives. Pastor, how many of you know a lost person? Some of you don't know lost people. Why not? Maybe you say, well, Pastor, I'm afraid to say they're lost. I wouldn't want to offend them. Well, ask them. Do you want to offend them? Or do you want to help them? Truth is inconvenient. We've lost our teeth. We've lost our purpose. We've lost our way in trying to become like the world instead of being a witness of Christ into the world. The call of the church hasn't changed. Jesus said, go and make disciples. That is still the call of the church. Preach the gospel, baptizing those who repent. It's still the same. Jesus said, repent. John said, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Luke is sharing in his gospel to most excellent Theophilus that Jesus is coming back. It says in here that this generation will not pass away. Okay, which generation was that? You know, here's a generation, there's a generation, there's another generation, all of those things. The generation is humanity. You need to hear this. Pay attention to me. The generation of which Christ speaks is this one. Because there's coming a time when this generation, this race of humanity will come to an end. When we'll be separated, goats left, sheep right. where we'll be a new earth, and those who are lost will go into eternal damnation and punishment, but those who are saved into eternal peace with Christ, and this generation shall end. And when Jesus returns, that's what happens. This generation, this era of humanity, will come to a close. And it'll be too late to get right with God. It'll be too late to accept His grace. The common argument today is, I didn't ask Him to die for me. Nobody did. But He did anyway. It's love. The call of the church is to be compassionate, not complacent. To be passionate, not passive. The call of the church is to be about fulfilling God's call to be witnesses into the world, to change the world, not adapt to it. The Word of God has not changed. The meanings of the words that are in here mean as much today as they ever did. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word would endure forever. Preoccupation will keep you from being ready. Preoccupation is Peter looking up and seeing the storm and sinking in the sea. Preoccupation will take you away from loved ones and family who need to know Christ and His grace. It doesn't call us to be judgmental. It doesn't call us to judge people. It calls us to walk with them. Making disciples takes a little time, and it's messy. Did you notice those boys that Jesus picked? He had a little trouble with them. He even had trouble with one of them so bad that He went and ratted him out. And they killed him. It isn't about perfection. It's about loving each other through it. That's what's so important about being part of a church family. Carrie has these Bible studies over at our house, and these women are so loud. They're having a good time. But I have to be honest with you, women's idea of a good time is different from mine. They tell everything, and they cry together, and they laugh together, and they hold each other up. Men, we don't tell nothing. Are we going to get together and tell stuff? Huh? No. How you doing? Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Which sports team you following this year? Yeah, we kind of superficial. We need to get over that, guys. That's what it's about. Being in the journey together. Not to bend people to our will, but to serve God's will and purpose. That's what Advent's about. To remember Christ's promise, I'm coming again. And to live with the expectation of that. And to grab the call of the church once again. That we find echoed in the last verses of Revelation. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. How many of us feel like we're doing all that we could and should in our service of God? If we think that, we're a bit prideful and a lot arrogant. There's always more. There's always something different. There's always a challenge. Sometimes He's calling us to sit on the bench and watch the game. Sometimes He's putting us in. Sometimes He changes our position. Sometimes He changes our sport. But it's always to honor Him, to grow us in our relationship. Pastor, I want to do more for God this year in service in my community and church. But I need some prayers for strength for that. If that's you, slip your hand up. I want to pray for you this week. Pastor, I don't want anybody to be lost. I don't want anybody to suffer God's wrath and judgment? Would you pray that I would be a better witness for that? Slip your hand up. I'd like to pray for you. You are our evangelist. You're called to share. Repent while you can. Time is drawing short. As we have faced many trials as humanity, as we have faced many points of extinction as a human species, from black plagues, diseases and viruses, floods, humanity's always at the precipice of being wiped out, destroyed. Let us as Christians not focus on that and lose our focus on the life that is offered in Christ. Pastor, I want to pray for us and other churches to be faithful in evangelism and to share that Christ is coming soon. Slip your hand up if you'll join us in that prayer this morning. Our gracious and loving God, we pray to be faithful in all to that of which you call us. Father, we pray today that we would hear your call, heed your call, and share the good news into the world around us. Father, we pray today that we would look at Advent and remember Christmas to celebrate the sharing of gifts that remind us of the gifts of the Magi when they came. But let us not forget that the shepherds left and went and told all of what they had seen. And the disciples came out of an upper room and began to preach a message of repentance, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Let us not forget that to which you've called us. Let us be true and faithful to your word, your calling, your plan, and your purpose. Father, may you give us strength to serve, the Spirit to guide us in it, and the wisdom to listen and discern the differences between truth and lie, right and wrong, which are found in you. Hear our hearts and prayers as we offer them to you. In the name of Christ, our Lord, Savior, and Redeemer. Amen. May the grace and peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, go with us and bless us. May we serve him in love, grace, and mercy. May we hear and heed his call and know that if he calls us to something that's different, remember, he equips those who he calls and prepares the way. Now may grace and peace go with you, bless you, and keep you. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless.
Service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.